Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy, sports, and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy, Sports, and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy, Sports, and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy, Sports, and Politics Crew. Fantasy, Sports, and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Yes, yes, yes. This is the FSP Crew Show, and you are definitely talking to JT, and I'm Master, Master Blaster. Welcome to the FSP Crew Show. It's a beautiful Thursday night, 8 o'clock. A lot of news going on, a lot of crazy stuff, a few crazy things going on. Talking about, I don't know if anybody heard this, but we're going to be talking about a Bengals cheerleader getting a little freaky. Going to be talking about some quarterbacks. And you know, if you listen to the show, you know I'm a Jet fan. And if you've also listened to the show, you know I've been halfway bailing out on my team, the Jets, after 45 years of total disgust of goofs and all kinds of things going on. But you know, as the FSP Crew Show, we always give you information and engage in conversation about the wonderful world, the wacky world, some of the freaky things happening in the world of fantasy, sports, and politics. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. It's 347-637-3220. You catch me today because I won't be on Saturday's show with Vic. And on my show, which happens to be the Master Plan, I will not be there. Vic Gardner is going to be substituting for me. I got some things I have to take care of this weekend. I won't be available to sit on the internet for any period of time to converse or host a show. So you won't hear my voice. You won't hear me babbling. You won't hear the old guy talking a whole whatever. For Saturday and Sunday, but I'll be back again, just like I'm here right now, on Thursday, 8 o'clock, and I'll be also back next week, Saturday and also Sunday on the Master Plan on Sunday. This weekend, I'm incognito, for lack of a better term. And like I said, we're going to be talking about some shenanigans that the the Shanahans, for one. We're going to be talking about the trying to slip through the Saints come marching in and trying to slip through a loophole or whatever, or trying to pull something off. I don't know if the league's going to let them do it or not, but we're going to talk about that too. We're going to also talk about some quarterbacks: quarterback in New York, quarterback in Washington D.C. Things in that nature. Also going to talk about how these things are going down in the Big Easy. But the first thing I want to jump off with, and this is absolutely, I wouldn't say crazy, but it's one of these things that, you know, the Bengals organization for years, I mean, in the last year or so, it's been getting cleaned up. The culture's been changed. You got a few guys, it's still the Bengals, that are doing some crazy things, like Jerome Simpson got caught with all that pot or whatever it was. But this is crazy, and it's coming from the Bengals organization also. I'm going to read this article that I got from ProFootballTalk.com that I don't know if any of you know about this, but it's dated today, dated at 4:34 this afternoon. So it's just been posted on ProFootballTalk.com, and I want to read the headline, and then I'm going to read the article to you. The headline is Bengals cheerleader arrested, accused of sex with high school student. Did you hear what I just said? Bengals cheerleader arrested, accused of sex with a high school student. I got it. When I read this, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But I'll read it, and you'll get your own opinion, and then we'll go from there. Well, I'll say a few things after that. A member of the Bengals cheerleading squad, who was until recently a Cincinnati-area high school teacher, has been arrested and charged with having sex with one of her students. Now, as we all know, there's a purging process that happens when young ladies audition for the cheerleading positions on these NFL teams. So they're getting some pretty fine-looking ladies, and they're getting what they're actually looking for. I wouldn't say, well, maybe I would say the cream of the crop of whoever has auditioned. So when you see them on the field, guys are oogling, ladies are jealous, looking at their husbands, looking at these women, gyrate on the sidelines. So you know this woman had to be looking good. That's what I'm saying. She had to be looking good, and she's fooling around. She can't get her freak on with somebody her own age. It happens to be a high school teacher with a high school student. Let me finish reading this. The Cincinnati Inquirer reports that Sarah Jones, a Bengals, which is a Bengals cheerleader, was indicted for first-degree sexual abuse and unlawful use of electronic means to induce a minor to engage in sexual or other prohibited acts. Both are felonies that carry sentences of up to 5 years in prison. Man, oh man. Bengals.com lists one of the team's cheerleaders as a woman named Sarah J., who is a high school English teacher, in addition to having been a member of the Bengals for the last 5 years. So this is not... You know, this is not some first-year cheerleader. This has been a cheerleader that's been on a squad for a while, and is accused of some crazy things. Now I'm looking at this cheerleader right now. Hold on a minute here. Let me bring her up here. I'm looking at this cheerleader right now, and let me tell you, people, her name is Sarah Jones, supposedly, and she didn't look too bad. You know, like I said, these cheerleaders, for the most part, are fine women, and for them to be doing what they're doing, you got to shake your head, and you got to scratch your forehead and shake your head and say, why? Sarah's mother, Cheryl Jones, who is a principal at a different school in the Cincinnati area, was indicted on charges of tampering with physical evidence in her daughter's case. Now, she even involved her mother, who happens to be a principal. That is also a felony punishable by up to 5 years in prison. The Joneses, don't let the Joneses get the best of you. Well, the Joneses released a statement from their attorney declaring their innocence. Sarah has maintained her innocence. Now, this is a quote. Sarah has maintained her innocence. The indictment of her mother is completely baseless. End quote, the statement noted. Sarah Jones has previously been in news for suing TheDirty.com, claiming that the website defamed her by publishing a claim that she had a sexually transmitted disease. Compared to the cheerleading squad, the Bengals look like a bunch of choir boys. You know, I can't believe it. I can't believe it that, I can't believe it. I mean, in society, you see these happening all the time. Male and female teachers engaging in sex with male and female students. And now something like this rears its head, and it has to do with a cheerleader who happens to be, was a teacher who happens to be accused. Now, you're always innocent until proven guilty, so I'm just putting it out there that she's been accused of having sexual relations with her with a high school student. I also neglected to tell you this, people. Besides the number 347-637-3220, there is also a chat room. If you would like to jump in the chat room and converse or interact with me that way, you can do that. Anytime, it's my program. It's open season in the chat room. It doesn't have to be the subject that I'm talking about. You can talk about any subject. You know, if you just, whatever you want to spout about or have a question about or make a statement or have me say something on the air about maybe a show that you're promoting, you may be listening to me and you're promoting a show, I'll do that for you. Whatever. Chat room is open for your convenience, and I would take advantage of it. The other thing that I want to talk about is this. Now, everyone knows that's been involved with the NFL about the Saints being caught with their, excuse me, hand in a cookie jar, per se, meaning that they were told to stop, didn't stop, lied to the commissioner and his office, and now they're paying the price with Sean Payton being suspended for without pay for a year. Greg Williams, who was the defensive coordinator in New Orleans at the time, but now he's the defensive coordinator in the St. Louis Rams, but he's getting suspended indefinitely. Joe Vitt, who happens to be a assistant coach, he's getting suspended for 6 games, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's what I write. And Mickey Loomis, who happens to be the GM, and reports to Tom Benson, the owner, he happens to be getting 8 games. So this was stiff fines, plus the fact is the Saints are getting fined $500,000. Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis is getting fined $500,000. So it's a heavy price to pay for doing what you do. Now, all the records have been made available, unlike what they did with the Patriots and destroyed all the tapes so no one could look at them. This is all above board, and it's all open to whoever wants to see it. Now, me, myself, and the thing about it is this. They have other teams and players, not teams, but other players have said, though, we've had, not bounties, but we've had pots that we put in, that we contribute to add as an incentive. Well, the commissioner and the commissioner's office said, time out. Anybody that is putting up money for anything like that will be severely dealt with. So things have been going on for decades, people. It's not like this just happened. This is the first time that this happened and the Saints got caught. This has been going on for decades. And maybe not to this magnitude, but this has been going on for decades. Is considered to be squashed. It's not happening anymore. If it happens, teams will be dealt with and players will be dealt with severely. Well, Sean Payton, the reason I'm saying all this is Sean Payton I don't know about the Saints organization, but Sean Payton went to his mentor, went to his head coach when he was an offensive coordinator and an assistant coach or whatever kind of coach he was, or quarterback's coach or whatever. went to his buddy, Mr. Bill Parcells, and said, I'm not able to coach this team. Would you like to? And they've openly been talking back and forth about Mr. Parcells coaching the Saints for the season that Sean Payton is suspended for. Now, me, if I was Goodell, I'd be a little pissed off. They're trying to do an end run and hire a coach that and hire another coach so they don't miss a beat. Now, the other reason I'm saying this is this. Herm Edwards is up in arms because, quite naturally, if you know anything about the hiring process of head coaches, you have to at least, it's called the Rooney Rule, and it was done for a specific reason years back when a minority candidates for a head coaching job weren't being interviewed or weren't even given a chance because they were the minorities. And the assumption was that they didn't have the mental fortitude and the ability to handle the pressure of being a NFL head coach. Well, that's been dispelled, just like the black quarterback. That's been dispelled. But the Rooney Rule is still in effect. Now, most persons of European descent feel that the Rooney Rule no longer need to be, I wouldn't say applied, but it doesn't no longer be applied, shouldn't be on the books. Everybody's above board now, and coaches are getting hired on ability. Well, let me put it this way. I understand what a certain segment of society is thinking, but if you have the rule in place, it ensures that everyone gets a fair shake. If you get rid of the rule, then you take a step back, and you're not guaranteed that everyone gets a fair shake. Now, I'm going to read this article that Herm Edwards is up in arms about, or claims he's up in arms about, and then I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. Herm Edwards, Saints are making a mockery of the Rooney Rule. Now, that's what we're talking about. The New Orleans Saints are in talks with Bill Parcells, I talked about already, becoming their interim head coach during Sean Payton's season-long suspension. But those talks can't progress to a formal job offer until the Saints fulfill the requirements of the Rooney Rule by interviewing a minority candidate. Now, and this makes a good point in this article, which raises the question, what are the Saints going to do if they decide that Parcells is the guy they want and Parcells decides he wants the job? The Saints' options would be twofold, and they would either hire Parcells in blatant violation of the Rooney Rule, as the Lions did with Steve Mariucci in 2003, and there open themselves up to a further league discipline right after they faced the toughest league discipline in NFL history over their bounty scandal, or they could start looking for a minority candidate who's willing to go through the motions of a sham interview simply to help the Saints and the league keep up the appearance that every coaching vacancy includes a minority candidate. Now, you think the Saints would be a little bit humble? You think the Saints would try to take a little back seat and say, you know what? We got slapped around. We didn't get a wrist slapped. We got, for lack of a better term, bitch slapped by the commissioner because of what we've done. I don't think we want to do anything more, or that we should do anything more, meaning if I was a Saints, to raise the ire of the commissioner again, to get him pissed off on another front, and not show any kind of remorse or be humble about what happened to you in the first place. So this is, to me, this is an end run. This is a blatant slap in the face to the commissioner trying to circumvent his discipline. I don't know. Let me finish this article. Former NFL head coach Herm Edwards said that either way, the situation is a mess. It makes it a little bit of a scam now, Edwards said on ESPN. That's the shame of it all. Sean Payton, opening his mouth like he did, he really reflects that this thing is going to become a sham if Bill Parcells takes this job. Because if you decide to interview a minority, you're going to go with Bill Parcells. You've already said, this is our coach. That's the shame of it all. It puts the commissioner in a bind. Pro Football Hall of Famer Jerry Rice was seated next to Edwards on the SportsCenter set when a subject came up, and Rice questioned whether any minority candidate would agree to interview the Saints' interim head coaching job. All indications out of New Orleans are that if the Saints go outside the franchise for an interim head coach, they're going to hire Parcells. And that means any minority candidate they interview would know in advance that the purpose of the interview is to satisfy the letter of the Rooney Rule, even after they've already violated the spirit of the Rooney Rule. I know for me, now this is a quote from Jerry Rice, I know for me, I would not want to do, or I would not to go to do an interview if I'm not going to get that job, end quote, Rice said. Edwards added that the Saints have already, by reaching out to Parcells but not reaching out to any minorities, indicated that they're going to go after the coach they want and not broaden their coaching search to include minority candidates, which the Rooney Rule is designed to make teams do. They're making a mockery of the rule right now. That's a quote from Herm Edwards. And I have to agree with him. And they're making a mockery, in my opinion, of the commissioner suspending Sean Payton. They're going to say, well, you're going to, more or less, this is Sean Payton. And I thought Sean Payton had a better head on his shoulders. He's saying he's humble. He's sorry. I didn't mean it. I have to do a better job. And then he says that. But in the other vein, he turns around and says, look, Bill, I want you to coach my team, which is, to me, is a slap in the commissioner's face. He's more or less saying, the hell with the commissioner. He can suspend me, but I'm still going to hire somebody to coach my team as well, or maybe even better than my team if I coached it. Now, that's a mockery. I can't believe that there hasn't been something coming from the commissioner or the commissioner's office about it. And he also said he didn't know if he was going to appeal, if he had a chance to appeal it, or if he could appeal it at all. Now, if it was me, if I was the commissioner and he tried to come in front of me appealing his appealing the decision I made about 1 year unpaid suspension, and he's pulling this stuff, or the organization is pulling this stuff, they would be on my hit list. They would be on my hit list. They would not get any kind of sympathy from me. They would not get any kind of leniency from me. Whatever I put down, I would say, this is what you're going to suffer. And if you think that you're going to hire Parcells, you're sadly mistaken. It's not going to happen. That my suspension, you're not going to make a mockery of my discipline by doing that. I don't know if anybody's got a opinion on that, but that's how I feel about that. This is a total mockery of the discipline that the commissioner has laid down, and I'm very surprised that nothing's been said. I haven't seen anything about what the commissioner has thought about this. I'm pretty sure all this is coming about somebody's had to have talked to the commissioner. I haven't seen a quote from the commissioner on how he feels about this, but if it was me, I'd be livid. I'd be absolutely incensed that they would not respect my authority or upsert my authority, I should say. I mean, I'd be livid. There's no two ways about it. This is like, okay, you suspend me, Commissioner, but the hell with you. I'll do an end run. I'll get somebody else to coach him just as well as I could. Instead of just take it like a man. You screwed up. You really screwed up. So take it like a man. Hey, hire, take one of your head coaches. Maybe you're also offensive coordinator or whoever. Maybe Steve Spagnuolo, he was a head coach. You got him on your staff, an interim coach. You think he doesn't know how to coach a team? You got your offensive coordinator still intact. He can run the offense. You got a new defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo. What's the problem? Why you got to go out and get Bill Parcells and make the commissioner look bad, for one? In my opinion, you do make this commissioner look bad, like whatever discipline he puts down. And this is unprecedented discipline that he put down. This has never happened to a head coach or assistant coach being either suspended for a year without pay or suspended indefinitely. This is a new uncharted territory that the commissioner went down. And then you slap him in the face, says, well, you do what you want, but I'm gonna hire somebody to take over my team until I can get back the following year. You know, that's – I can't agree with it. I can't agree with it, it shouldn't be. But we'll, let me put it this way. We shall see what we shall see. And the fact is, you have a little mini coach on the offense anyway, which is Drew Brees, but you haven't signed him to a contract because you're trying to shortchange him. You're trying to cheapen out on him. And you want him to sign his franchise tender. Well, last time he did that, he hurt his shoulder, and the San Diego Chargers threw him away like a wet rag. And the Miami Dolphins had a chance to get him, didn't want him because they didn't trust he would be able to make it back from his arm, his shoulder. But the New Orleans Saints took a shot, and he's been playing well for them, including winning the Super Bowl. So what do? You try to franchise tag it, which most of the time a lot of quarterbacks don't get franchise tagged, other players other than that, because if you have a franchise quarterback, you sign him. You don't want to piss him off. You want to sign him long-term. What, are you going to piss him off? He won't sign his tender. He's going to hold out and then maybe come in when the season starts, have a whatever type of season, and then the following year, he's an unrestricted free agent, and you can say bye-bye to him because you know that's what's going to happen because he's pissed off what you did and he is not going to sign with you. He'll go somewhere else and apply his wares there. So, Saints, you got a lot of things on your plate, and you guys are screwing up big time. You better get your act together, or you're going to things are going to happen to you even more than what's happening to you right now. So. That's all I got to tell you. I mean, it's a slippery slope that you guys are dealing with, and you're playing. I think you're playing with the wrong commissioner, because I think he's ready to come down on you guys big time, and you guys may be caught with your pants down. Even more than when you got caught with the bounty. But you know what? I mean, you guys, No one said because you make a lot of money that you have any common sense or that you're smart. You just make a lot of money. So you're fortunate enough to make a lot of money. So I think you guys are doing some unwise things, and well, you have done some unwise things, and you're still doing them, and it's you're getting yourselves deeper and deeper in the hole with the commissioner, and I don't think it's going to play well with you. I don't know what to tell you. You know, I'm surprised that you guys are pulling this, but it is what it is. Well, let's move on. I told you we're going to be talking about some quarterbacks, let's talk about this. Urban Meyer, who happens to be Tim Tebow's old Florida football coach, head coach, he had an article which I saw on Pro Football Talk. And the headlines of this is Urban Meyer urges the Jets to let Tim Tebow play. Let Tebow play. That's all I keep hearing. Let Tebow play. Tim Tebow, Tebowing, Tim Tebow, Tim Tebow. When is it all going to stop? It's probably never going to stop. He's in the mecca. He's in the mecca of PR and the limelight in New York. So this is not going to stop. I'm getting a headache. I'm getting a headache. Every time I start talking about Tim Tebow, I get a headache for the simple reason I am not a fan of Tim Tebow at all. He seems to be a nice person, but to me, and I know he's very persistent, I know he's very determined to be the best quarterback he can be, but Tim, in my opinion, you don't have the skill set to be an NFL-type quarterback. But I digress. Let me get back to the article I was talking about from Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer says, let Tim Tebow play. Urban Meyer, who coached Tim Tebow at Florida, has always insisted that Tebow can be an NFL star. He just wants to see an NFL team let Tebow run his offense his way. Well, Urban, the spread offense, the read and react offense, the option offense, is not an NFL offense. It's a college offense. You let Tim Tebow run when you were in college and he was successful in college. This is different. Asked on ESPN what the Jets should do with Tebow, Myers said the same spread offense he runs in college would, and this is quote, absolutely, end quote, work in the NFL. And that the biggest thing is that NFL coach just needs to trust Tebow to take over games himself. You know, there's 10 other guys besides Tim Tebow on the offense, Urban. It's just not Tim Tebow. And you have NFL players that the spread offense or read and react offense or quarterback option, whatever you want to call it, is not an NFL offense. Urban says this, I quote, let him play. Just let him play. End quote. Asked if that's what the Broncos did, Meyer answered, quoted, not really. According to Meyer, the Broncos were too often too conservative with Tebow, and when the Denver offense was at its best, as it was in a playoff win over Pittsburgh, that's when Tebow was given the freedom to run the offense his own way, hurting defenses with his feet and then making plays with his arm when defenses had to stop the run. Now, I'm not finished reading the article, but I had to stop when he's talking about Tim Tebow's arm. He's one of the most inaccurate quarterbacks in the NFL. bad news. Bad news, Urban. You don't know what you're talking about. I mean, you may be a good college coach. I don't think the NFL is for you. When they had success, I think they did. That's a quote from Meyer. Another quote, when you started seeing him throw against those easy coverages, it was because they had to stop the run. End quote. It remains to be seen whether the Jets will let Tebow play, but the current plan to use him in the Wildcat as a backup to Mark Sanchez doesn't seem consistent with what Meyer is urging. To really make the most of Tebow's skill set, an NFL team would need to completely install an entire offense around him, not use his plays as a backup plan. The Jets may be ready to let Tebow play 20 snaps a game, but they're not. And listen to me again, people, but they're not ready to hand the offense over to him completely. Urban, nice try. It ain't working. And I got Black in the chat room, my other co-host. He's in the chat room for some reason. He's not calling in, and he's harassing me and talking about let Tebow play the game. You play to win with Tebow. Black, you're sadly mistaken. You think Tim Tebow is all that. And I know you like to dig it to me because of, you know how I feel about Tim Tebow. But I can't float with it. I just can't deal with it. Tim Tebow and the Jets, not perfect together. Not at all. Not at all. Let's talk about another quarterback. I don't know if this is sour grapes. I don't know what. I don't know if he's shot or another former NFL quarterback, I think he's looking for a home, is weighing in on the Washington Redskins and RG3. I'm talking about a Mr. Super 5. We're talking about Donovan McNabb. Take shots at Redskins coach Shanahan. What else is new? This is not. What else is new? This is from Yahoo Sports. Former Redskins quarterback Donovan McNabb wonders whether Washington coach Mike Shanahan will be able to get the most out of Robert Griffin III. As expected, the team drafts as expected, the team drafts the Heisman Trophy winner. During appearance on Thursday's ESPN2 First Take, he must have been on it with Skip Bayless and the like. McNabb was asked whether Shanahan is a good fit for the Baylor quarterback known as RG3. He flat out said, quote, no. And this is another quote. I say that because a lot of times ego gets too involved when it comes to being in Washington. And Black is commenting on McNabb. Black being a Cowboys fan, McNabb being a longtime Eagles quarterback, is definitely going to disparage Donovan McNabb. But I expect that. Anyway, he played for Shanahan in Washington in 2010, the Redskins went 6-10. The quarterback was benched twice, and there were testy exchanges involving McNabb's agent and a team. This is a quote from McNabb. I was misused, absolutely, McNabb said. He said that Eagles coach Andy Reid adapted his offense to McNabb when he was drafted, but thinks Shanahan and his son Kyle, Washington's offensive coordinator, might not do that for Griffin. Now, this is one thing I had talked about on various shows. This show, FSP show on Saturday, and also I think on the Master Plan, I had brought this up. That's my worry. when the when and if the Washington Redskins draft RG3, is Kyle Shanahan going to be up to the task to coach him well, or do a bad job of coaching him and ruin RG3 because of the coaching? The nepotism that is with the Shanahans and Kyle Shanahan, let me put it this way. I don't trust, and I've said it before more than once, I don't trust Kyle Shanahan as an offensive coordinator. And I worry about RG3 not getting the best coaching to display his skills on the field. And Black says he McNabb wanted to smack Michael Smith. And, yes, he's only used it in a tampon box. Come on, Black. Come on, man. Let me put it this way. This is a quote from McNabb. Are you going to cater the offense around his talent and what he's able to do, or are you going to bring the Houston offense? McNabb asked, a reference to the younger Shanahan's work with the Texans. He also suggested Mike Shanahan could get fired if things don't go well next season. The head coach is 11-21 so far with the Redskins. The team pulled off a blockbuster trade with the St. Louis Rams to move up to the number 2 overall pick in next month's draft and is expected to get Griffin. If this doesn't work this year, we don't see the splash like a Cam Newton splash. This could be it. That's a quote from McNabb again. McNabb said other quarterbacks haven't been successful under Shanahan, including Rex Grossman and John Beck with the Redskins and Brian Greasy with the Broncos. After the Redskins traded McNabb to the Minnesota Vikings, he went 1-5 as a starter last season before being waived. He played 11 seasons with the Eagles, taking them to one Super Bowl. Okay? What can I tell you? What can I tell you? I mean, is that sour grapes? Is that McNabb trying to make a dig because he's on a public stage and he gets to make a dig to Mike Shanahan and especially Kyle Shanahan, who I think he really dislikes even more than Mike Shanahan? It could be. I mean, it sounds like it. But and in my opinion, it really sounds like it because when he went to Minnesota was a pretty bad team. They weren't that well, but he didn't play that well, and the offensive line wasn't that good and didn't protect him too well. I don't know if it's because of the quarterback, because sometimes these quarterbacks get better play from the offensive line than other quarterbacks that come in. So it could be because maybe he didn't have a good rapport with his offensive line. Maybe he pissed them off and they didn't block as well as they did for Christian Ponder or for Joe Webb. But that's neither here nor there. He's right now, he's looking for a job. He's probably the opinion, the poll, public opinion or whatever, thinks he's probably washed up, that he doesn't have a shot at getting another job. So, Donovan, good luck in your quest to get another job, because I think your time has come and passed, like come and gone, I should say. Anyway, that's what I have to say on that. We got about 15 minutes left in the show. Is that what we have here? Yeah, we got about 15 minutes left in the show. I want to talk about the NCAA Final Four. Now we have, on the Final Four, we have Kansas playing Ohio State, and we have the two Goombas, the two guys that are very good friends, playing in the same state, rivals because they play in the same state, talking about Kentucky and Louisville. Talking about Patino versus Calipari. Calipari's got the number one ranking in the nation. Number one ranking in that bracket. And Louisville is up and coming and been playing very, very well. Who's going to win? What do you think about that? Who is going to win these two matchups? I know I've only have two teams in my Final Four bracket left, and that happens to be Kentucky and Ohio State. And this weekend, they're going to face off against each other. And I guess we'll see who would be the better team. You know, I don't know what these teams are favored by. I really don't care. They both play on Sunday. Kentucky and Louisville play first at 6 o'clock, and then that's followed by Ohio State and Kansas. And then after that those two games play, quite naturally, the final is on Monday. Now, my bracket, I have two teams left. Kentucky and Ohio State, and I think those two teams are the teams that are going to the dance. I think it's going to be a pretty good game. I think Kentucky is a very talented team. I think Kentucky is a very, very talented team. I think this is probably the best chance John Calipari has to win a championship. I'll be surprised, and a lot of folks, especially folks in Kentucky, will be thoroughly disappointed if he doesn't get this team over the hump. They have a lot of talent on this team, and these teams should go. This team should go all the way, and that's how I have it. I have, like I said, I have Kentucky and Ohio State going to the final dance, and I have Kentucky being the ultimate winner of that. I predicted in a couple of brackets, Kentucky 60, Ohio State 54. And in my other bracket, let me see what I said there. I think it was a little more. Let me see what I predicted in this one. In this one, I predicted Kentucky also winning. Put it a little closer, 65-62. Ohio State is a very good team. It's been, in my opinion, underrated for the most part. And they've been handling their business pretty well. And Kentucky, I think, is Kentucky and Ohio State face off each other, I think that's the two best teams in the country, in my opinion. But what do I know? I'm just spewing here and talking. But what else is going on in the NFL? Oh, you know, the Revis called Belichick a jerk. Why do these guys, I mean, we're in the age where everybody speaks their mind, doesn't think about what they're saying, just spews it out there, puts it out there, doesn't care what the ramifications may be. Now, Revis, you have to play the Patriots two times a year. Tom Brady, you go up against and try to stop his passes from getting to his receivers. And why, oh why, would you call him a jerk? Why would you call Bill Belichick a jerk? You looking for headlines? Were you thinking, well, obviously you weren't thinking, otherwise I don't think you would have called him a jerk. That makes no sense. That makes no sense to me. So, in my opinion, things have got to change. And I would beg to say that you shouldn't be saying things like that. I felt your coach and your organization, for all the stupid things they've been doing in the last few weeks, that you as a star on that team and as a leader on that team would have more of a sense to not go out there and say that a rival head coach is a jerk. It's just adding fuel to the fire and just putting your team out there unnecessarily. All right. We got a little less than 10 minutes left in the game. We're coming down the home stretch here. Still, the number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. Got a lot of things going on, I'm going to be getting out of here on time because I'm wore out. I got a couple big days ahead of me. I gotta be able to get my rest to be able to sustain myself for the next 2 days. So, well, like I said before, we're talking about quarterbacks. The next hot thing, hot topic we're going to talk about is the number three quarterback that everyone's raving about now, that's supposedly on the rise, supposedly is more athletic and is more accurate on the run than Andrew Luck and RG3. We're talking about Ryan Tannehill from Texas A&M. Quite naturally, you had Andrew Luck for a bit. Then you really saw RG3's hype quite a bit for a short time. Excuse me. Now it's Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill had his pro day, and I guess his stock is rising because of what he accomplished or did in his pro day, but that's supposed to be a highlight. That's supposed to be a showcase, which is catered to what the quarterback can do the best. So, I mean, unless he completely falls flat on his face, you're going to get the best of what the quarterback or the quarterback's coach scripted for him. So, I don't know what to say to you. All I can say is this, that Cleveland Browns may be going after Ryan Tannehill. It looks like, they said they hitched their wagons to Colt McCoy. But everyone needs a backup plan, and I think the backup plan is this, that Ryan Tannehill is the backup plan for Colt McCoy. So rather than cause the type of controversy that other teams have had going after Peyton Manning and supposedly disrespecting their present quarterback, Browns decided not to do that. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, it looks like Ryan Tannehill is going to be plucked within the top 10, Miami Dolphins, Cleveland Browns. Hey, there's a lot of teams out there that need young quarterbacks or need an able quarterback. Why not? Miami Dolphins have Matt Moore on staff, and then signed David Garrard, and in my opinion, both those guys are backup quarterbacks. So what I'm thinking is that they are probably going to pick him, and he's probably going in the top 10. Now, like I said, I won't be here on Saturday, and I will not be here on Sunday. And Black in the chat room says New York Jets need a quarterback as well. Well, he has a point there, because there's an old adage: if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterback. So, and you New York Jets have two quarterbacks, and I have yet to see a team. Maybe you want to talk about the New York Giants when they had. I'm trying to think of the two quarterbacks with Phil Simms, and I'm trying to think of the other quarterback. They went to the Super Bowl, but one got hurt, and the other one came in. But two quarterbacks that's playing, especially if one quarterback plays a third of the snaps, it's not a good situation. And I don't think any of those teams have gone to the Super Bowl like that with two active quarterbacks, not one getting hurt and then coming back late in the season and trying to reestablish his job. I'm talking about someone actively getting hurt. I mean, playing. It hasn't worked, and I don't think it's going to work. Yes, Black put in the chat room, Simms and Hostetler. But this is totally different. You're talking about a quarterback that's going to be playing the snaps a third of the time, and running a different type of offense compared to the regular offense, which makes no sense to me. Makes no sense to me. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. Unfortunately. Happens to be my team, but it's neither here nor there. All right, we're coming to the end of the show. We got like 2 minutes left in the show. I want to thank Black for being in the chat room and interacting with me a little bit. Jeff, the Joker, who normally hosts on the show, he couldn't be here. He had some... something going on with his family member, and he called me and let me know that he had to be alongside that family member versus to spend some time on the show. Jeff, I hope things work out well, and I hope to see you. Hope to talk to you next week. Tune in on Saturday, which is the FSP show. Vic Gardner will be the host. Maybe Black or whoever else will call in and be interacting, and he'll be talking about news and notes of sports and whatever. And he also will be substituting for me on the master plan, which quite naturally is 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. Vic Gardner on Saturday, well, it starts at 1 o'clock. The Master Plan, which I normally host, but he's hosting this weekend, this Sunday, I should say, at 10 o'clock. But I will be back here, same place, same time, next week, which will be the first Thursday in April, which will be April 5th, if I'm not mistaken. Till then, this is JT, a.k.a. The Master. We'll be talking to you next week. Enjoy your week. Baseball starts next week, and I'll be anxious to talk about that also. Until then, I'm signing off, and this is a Cruise Show. Talk to you later.
Yeah, it's Mr. Anchor. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on to site. You can listen tonight. Talk about the game. Who in first place? You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.